Good morning. I am not Jeremy, even though we do look a lot alike. Rhett asked me a couple days ago to see if I would fill in for Jeremy because the Hodges are out sick. So let's continue to pray for them. And by the time he gave me notice, I couldn't grow my beard out to the fashion of his. It would probably take me 7 years and 11 months to get the beard that Jeremy has. So, you'll have to do with a bald, cleanly shaved man this morning. It's good to be with you, and we made it. We made it through 2021. It felt at times like it was flying by, and then there were times where it felt like it took some time. So, moving from Georgia up here to the D.C. area kind of felt like we were going back in time. Because we had the mask lifted and people were living freely, and then we came back here and it was like back in time. So, it is what it is, and we are trying to get through COVID. I don't know if we'll ever completely get through COVID, but we're doing our best. So, I want to thank you for being out here this morning, and there's no better way to start the new year than here with our brothers and sisters. I see a couple visitors, and we want to thank you for being out here this morning. And if there's anything that we say or do that you have questions about, please don't hesitate to ask. This morning, another thing, I need somebody at the end of this sermon to tell me command tab. It may not make sense to you, but it'll make sense to me, or at least Rhett. So just remind me at the end, or we'll be singing a blank screen. So, command tab now, right? Perfect. Okay. I just need one more command tab at the end. All right, so this morning we're going to talk about sort of a New Year's resolution. You can't start the new year, the first opportunity of the new year, not to talk about what we could possibly be changing for this upcoming year. And it's that time of year where we start making New Year's resolutions, or hopefully we've already talked about them and game planned. But this morning, we want to talk about some things spiritually that we can be doing in 2022 to make ourselves stronger and better than where we were in 2021. And I stand before you as somebody who is not perfect, who struggles in many ways, who is raising a 4 and a 2 and trying to live through that and trying to figure out how to raise our children in a godly way. How to work in a world that doesn't put God first. So it is amazing when we can come together and look around and have people that are encouraging, that are striving for the exact same goal that we are. So let 2022 be the best year for God that it could possibly be. Before we begin, I'd ask if you'd bow with me in prayer. Dear, kind, and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this opportunity to open up your word and to look into it and to make a game plan, to rethink and to reevaluate and to reprioritize the things in our lives. And Lord, we are so grateful for 2021. We are grateful that you have allowed us to live to this moment. We are grateful for all the blessings that you've bestowed upon us. We know that there are many in this congregation that have hurt, that have dealt with things over the year. And we just continue to pray for them. We continue to pray for their strength. But this morning, help us, as we are here this morning, to set aside all of the distractions, all the things of the world, and let us really focus on what your word says and make some true goals and some true desires for us to grow this year. We're so grateful. We pray that everything that is said this morning comes from your word. And we're grateful once again for your grace, your mercy, and your amazing love. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. So rethink, reevaluate, and reprioritize will be our lesson this morning. And so as we look at this morning, I want you to think about some men or women in the scriptures, who were some amazing examples of those who were willing to change. And not only willing to change, but took the steps necessary to change. Some names that come to my mind is Paul, Paul's a great example, an amazing example. I think about Peter, about where he was before Jesus was crucified, and then where he was after his resurrection. What an amazing change, a complete turnaround. I think about Naomi, about where she was when she lost her husband, and then to see the love that Ruth had shown her, and really it changed her. That influence had such an impact. You think about Joseph, how I don't think he imagined his life in slavery, but then to think about where he became and where he ended up and how he was able to help his family and the nations. One that really comes to my mind, and one that maybe we don't think about enough, is Josiah. What an amazing man. What an amazing king. And so this morning, I want to think about some ways that Josiah really changed and evolved to the status of what he had, where he came from, who was before him, and what he did with a nation that was completely broken when he took kingship. So I want to think about that this morning. And so if you turn with me, we'll be in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles for the bulk of our study. We'll look at some other verses, but this will be the heart of where we'll be. So if you turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 22, that's where we'll be this morning. 2 Kings chapter 22 in verse 1 and 2 says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jediah, the daughter of Adiah of Buzkath. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and he did not turn aside to the right or to the left. What an amazing thing to be stated of Josiah. What an amazing example that is being left for us. And then in chapter 23 and verse 25, it says, before him there was no king like him, who turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, nor did any like him arise after him. Brothers and sisters, I see two verses right here that is our goal for 2022. Let us do right in the sight of the Lord, and walk in all of the ways of the ancestors that came before us, the godly examples that we have. And let's not turn aside to the right, to the right or to the left. Let us stay on the straight and narrow. And then, as we see here in verse 25 of chapter 23, let us love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our might. So that'll be our standard this morning as we look. And I want to present to you 5 goals for us this morning. Hopefully, 5 goals that will not only remain in this building, but will be taken out into our daily walks. Not only today, tomorrow, this week, but hopefully for the remainder of this year and the remainder of our lives. So looking at this, these are our 5 points that we want to make this morning. You have to overcome your raising. What are you waiting for? It's time to start now. We need to open the book. We need to verify the truth. And as Nike said it best, we need to just do it. So those will be our goals this morning. So our first goal this morning is to overcome your raising. And this is not a phrase that is originated from me. I've heard this many times, mainly in the Texas community. You have to overcome your raising. And what that means is all of us come from somewhere. Some of us have a good foundation. We had parents that knew the truth, taught us the truth, loved us, and admonished us, and taught us in the ways of God's Word. And some of us came to Christ much later in life by various people that came in and out of our lives. And some of us might not have had the best upbringing. And there may be a lot of scars still from that upbringing. I don't know your particular circumstance this morning, but God does. And wherever you came from, good or bad, none of us, not one of us, had a perfect upbringing. And I, as a parent now, we get it wrong a lot of the times. We're making it up on the fly. Sometimes we say things in a harsh way that we shouldn't have. Sometimes we discipline out of anger instead of discipline out of love. Sometimes, and when I say sometimes, I mean practically 99.9% of the time, parenting is hard. And we get it wrong. And for those who don't have kids, you'll see that one day if the Lord ever grants you children. And it's not easy. But wherever you come from, we have to overcome our raising. And there's no greater example than Josiah. Let's look at Josiah. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 21, 1 through 18. And this is Josiah's grandfather, or grandpa, or pappy, or papa, whatever. Where I come from, it was just grandfather. But I'm starting to learn that there's so many more names than just grandfather and grandma. Right? And so we see Manasseh here. And in verse 1 of chapter 21 in 2 Kings, it says, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And in verse 2, it says, he did evil. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord according to the despicable practices of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places that Hezekiah, his father, had destroyed, and he erected altars for Baal and made Asherah as Ahab, king of Israel, and done and worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. And we can continue on there. Manasseh was a pretty wicked individual and a terrible king for the nation of God. And this was Josiah's grandfather. And then in verse 19 of the same chapter, we're introduced to Josiah's father, Ammon. And the Lord said, in verse 19, it says, Ammon was 22 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord as Manasseh, his father, had done. He walked in all the way in which his father walked, and served the idols that his father served, and worshipped them. He abandoned the Lord, the God of his fathers, and did not walk in the way of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, Josiah had terrible examples from his parents and his grandparents. How to be a godly man and how to be a godly king. And what's amazing is that God calls you and me to holy living. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 16. Ephesians 3, starting in verse 16. That according to the riches of his glory, that he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And then in verse 1 of chapter 4, I therefore, prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Brothers and sisters, we have been called out of darkness. And a verse that I just personally love so much in Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 5 says, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter who raised us. It doesn't matter how bad or how good it was. And I'm sorry if it was bad. And if you're still struggling with those struggles and those scars. But what I can tell you this morning is that God loves you. And he wants all of you. He wants where you came from. He wants where you are now. And he wants where you're going. And to me, that's reassuring. It's an amazing thought. And I love it particularly because I was adopted. And to me, to think about what adoption means, it's an amazing thought. We don't get most times to be able to pick our parents. But when you're adopted, you were chosen, which is an amazing thought. Brothers and sisters, everyone here in this room this morning was picked by God. And God wants you and wants all of you. The second thing we see here in Josiah's life is that he wasn't willing to wait. He saw a need. He saw something that was broken. He needed to fix it. Not tomorrow, not in 2023, not in 2024, not when I'm older in life. He found a need and fixed it. And my question for you, brothers and sisters, is what are you waiting for? It's time to start now. And so let's think about in 2 Chronicles, let's turn to 2 Chronicles, which is kind of cool because it's got a different rendition, mainly the same stuff, a little bit of different details. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and verse 1, it says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. He was 8 years old when he began to reign. Can you imagine having an 8-year-old who was the king, had the power to do whatever he wanted? Wow, that's terrifying to me. And then in verse 3, it says, for in the 8th year of his reign, which would have made him 16, while he was yet a boy, he began to seek the God of David, his father. And in the 12th year, which would make him 20, he began to purge out the idols. And the idols that were plaguing the nation, that everyone was worshiping, that everyone was putting far above God. As a 16-year-old, I try to think about where I was when I was a 16-year-old. There's no way that I would have been as wise and mature as Josiah. And then as a 20-year-old, I like to think I was a little bit wiser, but probably not. I probably digressed by the time I was 20. And then he was purging out the idols. Brothers and sisters, think about how amazing that is. A 16-year-old and a 20-year-old doing all of these wonderful things to make the nation right with God. And then in verse 8 of 2 Chronicles 34, it says, now in the 18th year of his reign, which would have made him 26, when he had cleansed the land and the house, he sent Shaphan the son of Amaziah, the governor of the city, and Joah the son of Joaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord God. Right? So he starts repairing the temple because he sees a need. What an amazing thought. What an amazing example that Josiah was. And the question is asked, what are you waiting for? There is something, I guarantee it, in every one of us that we could be doing better. And I don't know it specifically. I can only talk about myself and our family. There are things that Cody and the LaChapelles can be doing better. And so what are we waiting for is the question. Why are we waiting to change those things? Let us make those things right so that we can give our whole hearts to God. In John chapter 12 and verse 42, it says, nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for the fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue, for they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. And we see these wise, grown men who are more concerned about what people thought than putting God first. And I have to confess that there have been many times in my life where I cared far too much what people thought of me over putting God first. So what are we waiting for? It's time to start now. And in Acts 24, in verse 25, an example that's familiar to all of us, we see Felix. And Paul's preaching to Felix, and he's almost persuaded Felix. And Felix says, ultimately, it's just not a good time. It's just not convenient for me right now. And what's sad is we never see Felix repent and change his life for the better. And then in Ecclesiastes, turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and in verse 1. Ecclesiastes 12 and in verse 1. It says, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come, and the years draw near of which you will say, 'I have no pleasure in them,' before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men are bent, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed, and the doors on the street are shut. When the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of the song are brought low, they are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails, because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets." Brothers and sisters, we need to remember our Creator every day of our life. Something in your life needs improving. What are you waiting for? Today is a perfect day to start making improvements on the areas that may need to be changed in your lives. The next point we see this morning is that we need to open the book. And if there's anything that you take away this morning, I want this to be the key point. Is that, brothers and sisters, in 2023, we need to turn to God's Word. We need to make it a priority to open up the book of God. To look at what it says. To see what is left for us as an example. We can't turn to the world. We can't turn to our friends. We can't turn to social media. Brothers and sisters, we must be turning to the Word of God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and verse 19, or in verse 14 of chapter 34, it says, "While they were bringing out the money that they had been brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given through Moses. Then Hilkiah answered and said to Stephan the secretary, 'I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord.' And Hilkiah gave the book to Stephan. Shaphan brought the book to the king and further reported to the king, 'All that was committed to your servants, they are doing. They have emptied out the money that was found in the house of the Lord and had given it into the hand of the overseers and the workmen.' Then Shaphan the secretary took the book, told the king, 'Hilkiah the priest has given me a book,' and Shaphan read from it before the king. And when the king heard the words of law, he tore his clothes." Brothers and sisters, we need to open up the book. And if it's been on that bookshelf far too long, we need to scrape the dust off. And we need to get into it. And I have to tell you that 2021 was hard for me. And I was doing really well at the beginning, and then school started, and it was a terrible disaster where I felt like I was going days and weeks without opening the Word of God. And it was affecting me in multiple ways. And then, towards the end of last year, I made it a priority to start opening up the Word of God. And man, I tell you, what a difference it made. And it may seem silly, but I truly believe the Word of God has an unbelievable impact on our daily lives. So let's dust off the book and open it. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14 and 17, it says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." I think this verse is absolutely amazing in multiple ways. But the thing that stands out to me is that it says in verse 17 that the man of God may be complete. Brothers and sisters, I desire so much to be a complete godly man. And God's given me the way. I just need to make it a priority. And to be perfectly honest, I haven't made it a priority. So let us dust off the book. Let us open it and let us start reading it and studying it and desiring and earnest, lovingly wanting to read more of it. Turn with me to Deuteronomy, which is the verses that Axel read for us. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Chapter 11 and verse 18 through 23. We won't read the whole thing because Axel already read it for us. But in verse 18 it says, "You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your head." What God is telling us here and what God was telling them there is that we need to make the words of God a priority in every aspect of our life. Turn with me to chapter 6. And in verse 4 of Deuteronomy, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." Does that sound familiar? Sounds familiar to me. Because that's exactly what God told Josiah. That he was a man that loved God with all of his soul, with all of his might, with all of his being. Brothers and sisters, is that where you're at in your faith? Is God first and foremost? Or is God second or fourth or maybe even further down the line? Brothers and sisters, if he's not first, then we're making a huge mistake. We must be invested in the Word of God. There is no greater investment than being invested in the Word of God. It doesn't matter how well your Roth IRA is doing. It doesn't matter how well your TSP is doing. It doesn't matter how well your 401k is doing. If you're not invested in this retirement account, then you're failing. Let's be invested in the Word of God in 2022. We need to trust but verify. Something that I love about what Josiah does is the book is brought to him. But he does something, he goes an extra mile. And what he does in verse 20 through 28 is, to me, something that is wonderful. It is a wonderful example for us. And what he does is he verifies that these are the words of God. He verifies that this is what he needs to be doing, not only personally, but for the nation of God. And in verse 20, it says, "And the king commanded Helkiah, Acham, the son of Shaphan, Adon, the son of Micah, Shaphan the secretary, and Uzziah the king's servant, saying, 'Go, inquire of the Lord for me and for those who are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do according to all that is written in this book.'" So they went and they took the book to the prophetess in verse 22. And in verse 23, "And she said to them, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring disaster upon the place and upon its inhabitants, and the curses that are written in the book that was read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and have made offerings to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath will be poured out on this place and will not be quenched. But to the king of Judah who sent you to inquire the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, regarding the words that you have heard, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and its inhabitants, and you have humbled yourself before me and have torn your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, declares the Lord. Behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the disaster that I will bring upon this place and its inhabitants. And they brought back the word to the king.
And so what Josiah does is he trusts, but he verifies. So I have a challenge for you this year, on this day, is that we read the Word of God, but we verify it. When we hear things in class, when we hear things from bold men from the pulpit, we need to verify that it's true. We can't just trust. We have to verify as well. Because we are responsible for what we are learning. And we are responsible for what we're applying to our lives. We need to read. We need to talk. We need to be invested in studies and listening to sermons and doing all the things that will cause us to grow. But we need to verify. In the army, we like to say, trust, but verify. Brothers and sisters, I'm challenging you to trust, but to verify. And in Acts chapter 17, verses 10 through 11, it says, the brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. Oh, the Bereans. And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. I don't think there's any greater example in the New Testament about the importance of studying and understanding what we're learning and then applying it to our lives. And what's amazing about this is an active thing. It's something that we do daily. It's something that we do every time we come together on Wednesdays and Sundays and every day in between. Brothers and sisters, are you like the Bereans? Because I would like to be like the Bereans. Examine the scriptures daily to see if they are so. And then in 1 John 4, and in verse 1 it says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming, and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God, and you have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Trust but verify everything you hear. And the last point this morning from Josiah is just do it. Back to 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and in verse 29. 34 verse 29 says, the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites and all the people, both great and small. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant that had been found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. And we see here that Josiah made a covenant before the Lord to not only hear the words, but to do the words. And it was probably a little easier since he was the king and he could tell anybody what he wanted them to do. But the fact is, brothers and sisters, it's that simple. Once you hear the truth, we are responsible for the truth. And what are we doing with it? Are we just reading these words as if they're just nice stories and parables and warm fuzzies? Are they just quotes that we can put on our fridge? Are they just nice little things that can help us get through our days? Absolutely not. These are the words of life. These are the words that are steering us for all eternity. And we need to do it. And in John chapter 14 and verse 15, a simple but very obvious verse is, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of the truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. And John tells us, if you love Me, then you will keep His commandments. And in James chapter 1 and verse 21, a verse that I constantly turn to for guidance. James 1 and in verse 21 states, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and once forgets what he was like. Brothers and sisters, we can't just be hearers of the word. We have to be doers. And the last verse we'll look at this morning, if you'll turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and starting in verse 19. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 19. We'll read that in just a minute. So we need to do it. We need to put in the work and the effort to serve the Lord this year, this day, this week. Let us serve God to our greatest capacity. And I think we would be surprised if we serve God in the greater capacity than we've ever done before. He's going to give us an even greater capacity to serve those around us and to love Him more than we can even think is fathomable. Brothers and sisters, I challenge you this year that we make the changes in our lives, that we overcome our raising, that we forget about where we came from and focus on where we want to be for all eternity. And not to do it because we're seeking some greater reward, but we do it because God first loved us. Second, what are you waiting for? Let's make the changes now. Let's start now. Josiah was 8 years old. He was 16 years old. He was 20 years old. He was 26 years old when he was removing all of this terrible false religion from the nation that belonged to God. We need to open up the book. We need to invest time and energy in the book of God. Whether that's in the morning or whether that's at lunch or whether that's before we go to bed, we need to invest. We need to verify the truth. And we need to just do it. And as we see here, reviewing what we already read, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God. Brothers and sisters, I would love to see everyone here this morning have a tender heart and humble themselves before God. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Command tab. You guys didn't remind me. Oh no. Boom. There we are. Galatians chapter 5, and starting in verse 19. Galatians 5, and starting in verse 19. It reads, now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Maybe one of the things that you're struggling with doesn't necessarily fit in this category. Maybe it is. Maybe it is there. Brothers and sisters, we can't be putting off making the changes that are necessary. This may be our very last day on earth. This may very well be our very last year on this earth. Let us make those changes. Let us forget about where we came from, where we were, and let us focus on giving our absolute best to God. And then, in verse 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." If we live by the Spirit, let us not keep in step. Let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brothers and sisters, if you haven't made a New Year's resolution on things to focus on, I think God has a pretty good list right here. Let us work on the fruit of the Spirit. And as my daughter likes to say, "Dad, is a lemon a fruit of the Spirit?" No. These are the fruit of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I challenge you this year to make those changes that are necessary. Before we offer the invitation, I ask that you go with me one last time to our God and Father in heaven, one more time in prayer. Dear, kind, and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we bow our hearts, we bow our minds before you on this day. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this new year. Come before you as those who are wrecked, as those who are disasters, those who are just a hot mess. We come before you just pleading that you will forgive us of the wrongs that we have committed in 2021 and the years before. We come before you as broken vessels who want to be used for your greatness. Help us to be humble. Help us to have tender hearts that are longing to grow in the kingdom of God. We thank you so much for loving us when we were unlovable. We thank you for the rich grace and the undeserving mercy that you have given to us. Help us to give you the glory in what we say and in what we do and in every aspect of our life. We thank you at this time. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we want to offer the invitation. It's the first Sunday of the new year. If there's any here that need to make some things right with the congregation or with God, I challenge, I beg, I plead that you don't wait another day. And if there's someone here this morning and you know who you are, if you've never taken that step and given your life completely to God, there's no better way to start the new year than to take that step into faith and to be baptized. We challenge and we beg and we plead, don't wait another day. If there's any desire in your heart or any yearning that that's something that you need to do, we challenge you, we beg, we plead that you do it today. If there's anyone here that needs anything, please come as we stand and sing.